Hello, I'm Maurice Powell. Welcome to A Little Light Music, Manx Radio's regular Thursday evening classical music hour. Very mixed programme today. What have we got? Mainly British music, a lot of light music, and certainly something by a Victorian composer who, it's not exactly totally forgotten, but I bet you anything you like, you've not heard a single note of his music. So, well, in fact, we'll start with him. The composer is George Alexander McFarren. He's really part of the English opera crew of the 19th century, along with Balfe and Bishop and composers like that, all of whom wrote immensely popular operas around the middle of the 19th century. And from those operas were taken some of the most popular ballads that were sung at all the concerts in the 19th century, including, of course, here as well, when the tourist industry got into its stride. What can we say? I'm going to play an overture from a piece he wrote, She Stoops to Conquer, in 1864. It's based on a play by Oliver Goldsmith, originally written in 1733, and the play is really a tale of eligible bachelors. He was born in 1813, same year as Wagner and Verdi, but there I think the similarity ends. He studied at the Royal Academy of Music. He became a professor of the Royal Academy of Music, a professor of music at Cambridge, and eventually the principal of the Royal Academy of Music, and was ennobled Sir Alexander McFarren in 1882. There's a connection here with the Isle of Man, quite an interesting one, which I just happen to have been delving into over the last few weeks and have written a short piece about it for Culture Vanin. George McFarren came here just after he'd left college. His father was also a composer and a sort of a would-be entrepreneur, but was always in financial difficulties. And McFarren suddenly found himself head of his family, responsible really for their well-being. He needed a job. And of all places he came to look for a job, was Douglas, here in the Isle of Man. And between 1836 and 1837, for just over a year, he took a job teaching at one of the private seminaries here, the Mrs. Dutton's Seminary, and he taught music. He also took part in a number of concerts with a number of other local and equally interesting characters that sort of washed up on our shores. It was an interesting time. He eventually went back, of course, and then became a professor at the Royal Academy of Music. He did write some music when he was here, but nothing, I think, which has actually survived. Anyway, you can read my short piece later on in the year if you get the Culture Vanin monthly newsletter, which, if you don't, you really should. It's full of interesting things about Manx music. So, the overture then, She Stoops to Conquer, bearing in mind that Mendelssohn was the most important composer for England during most of the 19th century. There's something of Mendelssohn about this piece.
Thank you.
The overture for the play She Stoops to Conquer, written in 1864 by George Alexander Macfarren. Now, I was talking about his link here to Douglas. Now, apparently, he had a special farewell concert in Douglas. And for this particular concert, he apparently wrote a special overture. And he wrote it for the instruments that were available at the seminary where he was teaching, which, again, apparently comprised of 16 flutes, if you can believe it, 4 violins, 1 clarinet, a trombone and a double bass. I can't imagine how he would write for that combination and what it possibly could have sounded like. Needless to say, I've not been able to trace this particular piece. It could, of course, be buried somewhere in the depths of the Manx Museum, but I'll probably have to turn the place inside out to find it. But it would be fascinating to see a score of this piece. Never mind, George Alexander Macfarren. We may return to his music a little later and hear a lovely movement from one of his symphonies. So, it's something completely different. I'm going to return to the music of Clive Richardson, which I do quite often in this series, and to a piece I have played before. I admit it, probably in 7 or 8 years, half a dozen times. It's Beachcomber. It's a really attractive little piece, a typical piece of light music. It's tuneful, it's rhythmic, it doesn't outstay its welcome, and it's very whistleable. Clive Richardson wrote this piece in 1949. He was in fact born in Paris of British parents, but they moved to the UK. He studied at the Royal Academy of Music. And he was a multi-instrumentalist. He played the piano, the organ, he studied orchestration. He played the violin, the clarinet, the trumpet, the trombone and timpani. He also wrote music for Gaumont British Films. And, quite an adventurous life. This is Beachcomber. It's not the only piece I've played by him, but I don't know, it's catchy. You'll see what I mean. Clive Richardson's Beachcomber. Thank you. Beachcomber by Clive Richardson. I love the way the piece sort of fades out just as it kind of fades in again. And it's certainly, it's one of those pieces that could very easily become a tune worm. You know what I mean? Something that you hear and it stays in your brain rattling around. You can't get rid of it for days. However, Billy Mayle next. A very popular composer in the 20s and 30s, maybe even just a little bit after the Second World War as well. He's most famous for his sort of piano syncopated novelties. He actually had his own school of syncopation, which I think he started in the 1920s, sort of during the jazz age. It's all pretty mild stuff, not what we would really call jazzy today, but attractive, very attractive. I'm going to play a couple of pieces. First of all, Lily Pond, which is a pastoral piece, nothing at all like the pieces he's best remembered for. And then I'm going to play Bats in the Belfry, which is definitely one of his syncopated piano novelties and a very well-known piece. So first of all, Lily Pond, followed by Bats in the Belfry, the music of Billy Mayle.
Thank you.
That was music by Billy Mayle, Lily Pond. We're going to hear Bats in the Belfry next. I've just remembered a little fact about Billy Mayle, which you may or may not find interesting, but it kind of ties in with his interest in sort of jazz-inspired music. He gave the first performance of Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue in Britain in 1925. Must have been quite an occasion. Here then is Bats in the Belfry. I like the nice, soft, spongy, jazzy ending to that piece. Bats in the Belfry, a pretty typical sort of piece by Billy Mayle. Very attractive and memorable too. Another one of those sort of tune worm pieces. I'm not surprised really that he did eventually turn to light music. He may have had other ambitions originally, but he turned to light music. He was born in 1902, really, in the centre of what became Britain's Tin Pan Alley in Tottenham Court Road. So he'd been surrounded by light music when he was growing up. And now to the music of Howard Flynn, and a piece I have played before, but probably not for 2 or 3 years. It's The Clatter of the Clogs. It's a novelty percussion piece, as you might imagine from the title. One of the pieces made popular by Sir Dan Godfrey and the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra in the 20s and 30s. Howard Flynn, The Clatter of the Clogs. Thank you. Oh dear, another tune worm there, I think, just gone in. Howard Flynn's The Clatter of the Clogs. Let's return for 10 minutes or so to the music of George Alexander Macfarren, the 19th century composer of operas, symphonies and sacred music, who spent a year here teaching music at a seminary in Douglas when he was a young man straight out of college. I'm going to play two movements from his Fourth Symphony in F minor. I think it's a very attractive piece. There are echoes of Mendelssohn, as you'd expect, maybe also of Schumann and other composers as well, immensely popular in the first half of the 19th century, such as the German composer Louis Spohr, who came to England on five or six occasions with his oratorios and symphonies and so forth, and was an enormous influence on all those who heard him. So there's bits of all sorts of things in this symphony, and yet I think there's a character here as well. Macfarren was a workaholic. He suffered all his life with very, very poor eyesight and eventually became totally blind, but it didn't stop him working every hour of the day. So, this is from his Symphony in F minor. We'll start with the Andante con moto.
Thank you.
An attractive movement there from George Alexander McFarren's Symphony in F minor, number 4. That was the Andante con moto. I think it's a really attractive piece. It's beautifully orchestrated and mildly romantic. The whole symphony lasts about 25 minutes, which means it's about the same proportions as one of Haydn's later symphonies or one of Mozart's, perhaps Beethoven's first or second symphony. It's not a long, explosive kind of romantic piece a la Schumann and Brahms. It kind of harks back to what McFarren probably considered a more genteel age. Let's hear the minuet again, which is harks back really to the 18th century. Minuets hardly appear in the 19th century. It's all scherzos and bustle and energy there. But back to the 18th century minuet again, slightly warmed up with romantic feeling. The third movement, the minuet, from George Alexander McFarren's Symphony No. 4 in F minor. Particularly like the middle section, the trio section of that minuet there, scored for a brass choir. Very attractive scoring. Right, let's move on some considerable time, half a century or so at least, to music of Bryn Baruch. And another sort of novelty percussion piece, which was in the repertoire of the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra from around the mid-1920s. Byron Brook was in fact a violinist in the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra. He studied at the Royal College of Music, organ and composition with Vaughan Williams, no less. Here is a piece called Gee Whiz, which is a novelty xylophone piece. Well, fast and furious xylophone playing there. Byron Brook's Gee Whiz. Now, I'm going to play two pieces by Ernest Tomlinson. Now, Ernest Tomlinson wrote The Little Serenade, which is the theme music for this programme. So I'm going to start with that. Lots of people say, oh, it's a really lovely piece. It introduces my programme on a Thursday evening. But we only hear the first 10, 20 seconds of it at the most. Can we not hear it all? I have played it all before. It's a very short piece, a fraction over 3 minutes. So we'll start with Ernest Tomlinson's Little Serenade, a perfect piece of light music, in my opinion, and then we'll hear his Fairy Coach, which is another delightful piece. Both of these were written in 1955, originally for a play or a musical about Cinderella. That was Ernest Tomlinson's Fairy Coach from the music he wrote in 1955 for a play or musical commissioned by the BBC, I believe, about Cinderella. That brings us to the end of the programme. We've just got time for something to play us out with. And I think I'll probably play the Cinderella Waltz. Why not? It follows on very nicely from the last two pieces. Please join me again next Thursday at 9 for some more light music and not so light music. No idea what's in the programme yet. One or two ideas brewing away. But until we get to the CD collection and start raking through, well, even I don't know exactly what I'm going to be playing. So, to play us out with then, Ernest Tomlinson's Cinderella Waltz. Goodbye.